Hey, Word Vomiteers. You're listening to the Word Vomit Podcast, the podcast where we talk about all things pop culture, from movies, video games, comic books, television, and music. I'm your host, Randy Kings, and to my right, I have the undeniable Vitamin E-Man.
What is up?
And to his right is a very special guest, a man that I adore. His name is Josh Hunter.
Hey, guys, what's up?
All right, now you're listening to this free for your listening pleasure, not at Garage Studios this time. We're actually in a comic book store here in Castro Valley, California, called Crush Comics. And if you could do us a huge favor, you know, get your friends to like our page and get them to subscribe. Guys, what's going on?
And send them down to Crush Comics.
Yes.
Afterwards.
Yeah, well, yes. Cool. So without any other words to say, yes, definitely come down here because it is a pretty kick-ass spot. I'm going to arguably say a step up from Garage Studios.
Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that. Josh, thank you so much for letting us do this here.
That's cool.
All right, now, just so everyone knows, Josh Hunter is, when I said I adore, I really do mean I adore this guy. He is super lucky because he was a guy who he worked at this comic book store. Is that correct, Josh?
That's correct.
He was an employee. Yeah. He left to go on to do a job working in Silicon Valley and decided, you know what, F this noise. Fuck this traffic. I'm going to come back to the comic book store, not just work here, but he bought the place. He is the owner and operator of Crush Comics.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. I worked here for like 7 years during college and stuff like that. And then, like you said, I went down to Silicon Valley and I did that for like another 7 years. And it was cool. I learned a lot of good stuff. But the thing I learned the most was I just like comic books better than anything else. So I talked to the old owner and let him know that if he ever wanted to retire or take on a partner or anything like that, I'd be interested. And lo and behold, here we are. So it's me and my wife run the shop. So come hang out with us. We think we're cool.
Yeah. Oh man. See, the fact of the matter that you said a thing that some people may have a misconception for is that you have a family. You have a wife. You have children.
Yeah. It's a mom and pop shop now, which is pretty cool.
It's not one of those situations where your kids hate comics, is it? Like, you love it?
Oh, no, dude.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I have two daughters. Charlotte is 5, and happy birthday to Charlotte. She turned 5 like 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, it was
cool. Happy birthday, kiddo.
And then Daphne, she's like 10 months, so I guess her opinions don't really matter right now. But
her opinions haven't formed yet.
But no, Charlotte is like a really good mix of me and my wife. She's into all of the crazy, nerdy, silly stuff that I'm into. But she's also really, I don't know, girly too. It's cool. There's a story I have. I'll think of the story, but to like demonstrate.
I ask because I always remember that Patton Oswalt bit where he's talking about how his son is going to be the exact opposite of him.
Yeah.
Where he goes, hey, Dad, you want this giant-size X-Men? Do a push-up. Aw, son. Like, he was just going to bully him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wanted to see if that actually was true, if situations ever occurred where the kid does not like anything that the parents like. Like, I don't know how I would feel if I had a kid and they just could not stand video games.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do with myself. What did I do wrong? Why don't you like this?
Yeah, I'm totally in that now with, not that I'm experiencing that per se, but, you know, I just gave my son Ronan his first game console. I mentioned in a previous episode that he has a 3DS XL now, and I was concerned that he wasn't going to like it. Like, he wouldn't be interested in it. And then I realized every time we go to a GameStop, he looks to see if there's a demonstration of a 3DS. And if there isn't one, he considers it not a real GameStop.
Oh, wow.
We've gone to...
Damn.
Yeah. We were at the Great Mall in Milpitas, and we went there, and they didn't have a demonstration for a 3DS. And he loudly goes, this is not a real GameStop, and walked out.
Wow.
I was like, hold on. So, wait. Daddy needs to look at something still.
There's that part of you that's just like, dude, don't cause a scene.
I'm like,
but on the other side, you're just like, but I'm so proud of you.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, you don't have a demonstration for my son. He doesn't think it's real. Laters.
Step it up, guys.
That's a big GameStop too.
Yeah,
I don't see how that was possible.
It doesn't have they don't care about the 3DS there. No. That's basically what it comes down to. The only one that does have one that near us is the one in Hayward on A Street. We've gone there. You know, I'm there to pick something up, and he'll play for 10 minutes.
Like, you would say, hey, buddy, I'm going to GameStop. He'd be like, which one?
He goes, is it a real GameStop, Daddy? Yeah. But no, he has his 3DS, and he loves playing it. Like, he was playing it before we left the house today.
Right on.
So
that's awesome. How old is he now?
He is six.
I forget, six. Yeah,
my son is 6 years old.
And they grow so fast.
I know. Yeah,
it's terrifying.
It really is. Yeah. I can't imagine for you though, because you know I've seen you've had the family here,
mm-hmm.
so them being surrounded by this,
Yeah, Charlotte, man, she took to like capitalism pretty early. Like,
wow.
Yeah, so we had you guys were here for Batman Day.
Yes, we were.
That? Yeah, that was like our grand opening event. And my wife had made little Batgirl cupcakes, and Charlotte wore a little Batgirl like mask and stuff, and it was her cupcake, so she's giving them away to customers, right? And some customers came up and they're like, oh, you know, can I have one of the cupcakes? And Charlotte's like, yes, that's $20.
Dang.
And like my employee Tyler's like, no, they're free. And she's like, shut up, Tyler, they're $20.
It's better be the best damn cupcake ever.
Yeah, she's hardcore, man.
Well, because she knows that it's going to have to pay for her splendor.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right?
Pays
like,
for her
like
splendor.
She understands that this is... Are you going to college? I don't know. Let's see if we can save
enough buy bucks, a cupcake. Right? I'll be $20 closer to that.
Would make it more funny if she said these are limited edition Crush Comic cupcakes.
Variant cupcakes.
Right. Variant cupcakes.
Yeah. No, but she took to it really quick. She loves coming down here and... Scanning, we taught her how to scan books in.
That's super cute.
And she gets mad when there's no customers. She'll be like, I want to scan some books. And I'm like, well, I'd like you to scan some books. We don't have any customers right now. Chill out.
Relax,
she's,
girl.
She's funny, man. It's cool.
So we're in a comic book shop.
Yes, we
are. And I feel as though I've got to ask if you guys are actually reading any comics at the moment.
Oh my God, dude. So, when I was working down in San Jose, Silicon Valley, I wasn't reading a whole lot, right? I just kept up with Invincible and Walking Dead, and then I kind of fell off Walking Dead. But now that I'm like back, I'm doing a lot of catch up. But right now, Thanos is
awesome. Super good,
dude. It's like it's on issue 15 right now. You can jump on at 13 because 13's like the legacy starting point for the Thanos book. It's dope. Like, there's a cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yes, I just read about that.
They just did the reveal like last night. It's dope. Like,
do you want to who Cosmic Ghost Rider is, Emmanuel?
No.
Spoiler alert.
I want to say
it's
so bad.
No.
I want to say it so bad.
Don't say it. Don't.
It's Ghost Rider.
You're
dead to me.
Yeah.
You're dead to me.
Oh, man.
So what's today? Today's Saturday?
Is Saturday.
Yeah, so I didn't get a chance to read it until last night, and it was awesome.
I was like, holy crap. Well, I'm glad. I was actually going to make that one of the topics we were going to talk about is the new Ghost Rider, but Emmanuel doesn't want to talk about it.
It's ruined it, man. Aww. What about you, Randy Kings? What are you reading?
I started, what was it, the Darth Vader Marvel series. Well, actually, I bought here.
Yeah.
I started that. I really like it. It's super good. I was never into the Star Wars comic books when they were coming out, whether they were from Dark Horse or was it the short, well, not short, but like even the previous Marvel run. I started getting more into it when IDW had it. Like, I really liked the Star Wars Dark Times, when you see Darth Vader, like, hunting down Jedis and all the stuff that goes with it. But, yeah, Marvel's doing a really good job with that property as far as the comic books goes. There's that and, you know, a lot of indie books because, you know, shout out to my friends at Oni Press who are nice enough to, you know, send me comic books to read. So I really like Heartthrob, which we met the creator of.
Yes.
That guy was super dope. His book is really good.
I tried to get my friend into it. She hated the main character.
Well,
I was like, come on. You got to give it a little time. You got to.
Because she's not. I mean, she's not.
I was just saying, you need to like get past the first part, and it gets really good.
Yeah, super dope.
And I, you know what? I don't think I convinced her.
Aww.
I think we're gonna have to contact the creator and be like, hey man, you need to give my friend a call. You need to convince her to finish reading at least the first book,
because it's super good. Like the idea that she's like living a humdrum life and then meets this dude and becomes like, was it criminal extraordinaire?
Right.
Holy crap, he is not real. Okay.
So, I was trying to get her into that. And I was also going to try to get her into Kaiju Max, but once she told me she didn't like Heartthrob, I was like, you know what? You're probably not going to like it. I'm actually following right now Red Hood and the Outlaws. It's Red Hood, Artemis, and Bizarro.
That is a weird pairing.
Right.
A weird grouping.
And Bizarro, they're doing to Bizarro what they did to the Hulk, where they made him super intelligent.
I mean, he's not. I always thought that Bizarro was not dumb.
He's not dumb. It was just the dialogue.
That's how he talks.
Like, he's inventing stuff. He's creating portals and small rifts. like he's stealing stuff from the Fortress of Solitude.
Oh wow,
what a jerk!
And like Red Hood even asks, like, well, what happens if he finds out? I was like, well, we're practically brothers.
We're practically brothers.
So I'm sure he's gonna be okay with it.
We're just borrowing
things. And we're using it towards the greater good.
I'm like, hold on a second. Isn't he one of the people who can key that Superman has?
Yeah.
In front of the Fortress of Solitude.
He just totally bypassed that key.
He's like, pick it up, lift it. But I'm like, can't you just walk in? Why you gotta portals? I mean, I guess if you're trying to be incognito.
Right, because that was the whole idea behind the Outlaws. So, yeah, that's actually what I'm currently following right now. And then whatever just tickles my fancy. Like, for instance, I'm looking at a Captain America comic right now that has Kraven the Hunter. I'm like, that looks interesting. I may walk away with that today.
Yeah. He's been in there for a little bit, I think. Lots of cool stuff at Marvel. DC's got some really good stuff, too. Doomsday Clock, I don't know if you guys have read that.
No, not yet.
A little bit.
Yeah, first three issues, but bummer, they just announced that they're going to go to a bi-monthly, which means every 2 months.
Instead of 1 month.
Instead of monthly, right.
Was that something they had planned before, or is it just because of the reception?
I think it's because they want to make sure that the art is really, like, top quality.
Gotcha.
It's Gary Frank who's doing the art, and he's awesome, but they want to make sure that it's really good, but... For a 12-issue series to go to bi-monthly, like we were hoping to be done with it the end of this year, but we'll be well into 2019 by it finishes, I guess. So that's a little rough, but yeah. It's been cool. It feels very Watchmen. A friend of mine and I, we were talking about it in the chat, and they were like, "Yeah, it just feels like Geoff Johns is trying really, really hard to write like Alan Moore," and I get that. But I like Alan Moore and I like Geoff Johns.
Yeah, I know.
So.
It's a fine line that he has to find where you want to have enough of the Alan Moore element, but you also want to, you know, you're introducing it into the DC universe.
Yeah.
So it's being able to find enough of both to where everybody is satisfied. You don't want it to be oversaturated with DC because then it might come out a little corny.
Yeah.
And then if it's too Alan Moore, well, it's just too serious and everyone's taking themselves too seriously in the comic and it kind of ruins it.
It really fits right now. Like it feels like a good mix. It almost feels more like the story is that the Watchmen characters are transported into the DC universe, but it feels more like all of the DC characters are in the Watchmen universe, at least to me. But it's been
cool. It's almost like them being in the DC universe is now influencing it into a more Watchmen setting.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's off in the timeline somewhere. I think all the metal stuff is current in the DC universe, which has been cool. Metal number 5 drops next week, which is awesome. Metal's been cool.
This week, technically, when this comes out.
No. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
The future.
Yeah. This coming Wednesday. But the Watchmen stuff is like a year in the future in the timeline. But it's exciting. Cool. Good stuff.
Yeah, and also when, you know, trying to plug your story here, but you also look around, and it's not just comic books, but you've got some really cool figures here.
Yeah. I see by the front of the store, you have a Star Trek Risk.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Steven Universe star right there. And then behind me, maybe you can see it because we're actually being recorded right now. I completely forgot that we're being recorded on video. But behind me, there is a figure of Aquaman from the Justice League cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
It was on Cartoon Network, which I thought was a really cool Aquaman. Like, I know that a little bit after that, he kind of became the butt of a lot of jokes.
Until
the New 52, where they try to make him as serious as possible. And then with the movie adaption that we got for the Justice League movie, they're really trying to steer people away from there.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this on the show before, but I don't think people realize just how powerful Aquaman is.
Yeah.
Outside of the water.
He's a strong dude.
Outside of the water, he is just as strong as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's he's rated.
And what's funny about that, too, is that I don't know if you guys follow the internet series Death Battle, but they just did a Death Battle recently where it was Wonder Woman versus Thor. And statistically, Wonder Woman is stronger than Thor. So you have Aquaman. You know, you can make the argument that Aquaman can actually defeat Thor.
Because he's just as good.
He's just as powerful as Wonder Woman, which really dwarfs the hell out of Marvel and DC. I always saw that when you did the comparison, and as far as like the fact was always like leagues ahead with how powerful their characters can get. And whenever Marvel would have something very similar to that, it was only a minor power up. They may have had like one comic book run with the character at that point before they reverted him back to the standard, because you know continuity always changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, power creep in superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we changed that. It's cool.
We're going to buff this, but we're going to nerf that. It's the It's the comic book equivalent of Street Fighter nerfing and buffing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out really great.
Yeah.
And other times you get three perfected on.
Yeah. Do you know that story, Josh? Have you
heard
the story?
No, I haven't heard this one.
Go for it, man. You might, it's your story to tell, brother.
Yeah, we'll just do the quick run because we've said it over and over. But
he doesn't know
it's the greatest.
Yeah. We went to Lupe Fiasco's event last year, which was also a Street Fighter release for the new character, Colin.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up put into the tournament. I thought it was just, we were just going to, you know, have people play on the big screen. But it turns out that it was an actual mini tournament that they were doing inside. And I played against one of the higher ranked characters for Dalsim. Her name is Guilty. And she mopped the floor with me.
It was rough.
It was rough. You could just tell. Like, she got three perfects out of the four rounds. And by the third perfect, I think at that point, everybody was just feeling pity for me. Yeah.
They're like, hit her. There's the, was it Salty Steve? Or no.
Yeah.
But he was saying, dude, he's like, just hit her once, get a quick jab. But they said, I think they yelled, and walk away, drop the controller. The sigh of like essentially relief and adulation when he actually got that hit in the fourth round.
It was like, the fourth round, three fourth rounds in a row.
Yeah, oh, yeah, man, yeah, she's
three
totally
straight perfects.
Yeah.
Three straight. And the thing is, when I saw that happen, because I got there earlier and I was walking around the floor, and I see Sean Vander saying, Manuel's going to fight Guilty. And I was like, I know who Guilty is. And I'm like, wait, what? It's like, no, for real. Like, he's going to happen now. I'm like, what? And I see him like, oh, no.
Yeah, this is going to end badly.
This is not good. Yeah. But yeah.
And it ended badly.
Yeah. It was, you know what, though? It was pretty good, though. I got to say, a guy off the street just walked up.
And got the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah. There's a reason why she's like in the professional fighting rank. Yeah.
Did she go on to win?
No, but she did get to the final.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she didn't win it. Yeah. And speaking on Street Fighter, Street Fighter Arcade Edition just came out.
Yeah, Street Fighter V Arcade.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys pick it up yet?
Well, I mean, anybody who had Street Fighter V got the download update, so everything moved over, and all the nerfs and the buffs took effect. And I've switched over from Nash to Ryu, so Ryu was also a character that kept getting nerfed. They did to buff him was that they just gave him back everything that they took away. It's just like,
That happens.
And then, now they gave him his new move. It's basically like the donkey kick, or if you do translation, the diarrhea joke kick.
Buddy.
Yeah, if you do the direct,
is that the wall bounce one?
Where he does that cannon right kick. And then if you do it EX mode, it does actually bounce him off the wall.
Into Shoryu.
Into Shoryu, yeah. And then apparently they actually did buff him up quite a bit, too, so I'm actually really excited to get back into it.
Who's top tier right now? I downloaded 5 when it first came out for the PC, but for some reason my joystick wasn't supported, and it felt really slow, and it's like the only game I've ever returned on Steam. Like, I was kind of furious. Like, and I really haven't touched it since.
Well, I've seen a lot of Ryus. Of course, a lot of Akumas.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Cowardly Lion Akuma.
He's all the rage now, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
No pun intended.
Yeah. But, I mean, we'll see how everything changes because everybody got that second EX, mm-hmm. or their second V-trigger, excuse me.
Yeah.
Which changes up the game. Like, if done correctly with Ryus, it can stop almost any move, even super moves, except for anything that's related to a grab.
Okay.
So,
well, that's how it's always been. Yeah, right?
He triggers like a focus cancel from 4, right?
Yes. Yeah. His secondary one. And, you know, you could already do the parry with all the super moves. So now you have something that, you know, opens it up for a free hit. It's pretty solid.
Sweet.
I think Ken got his Shinryuken back.
Oh, cool.
For his secondary one. So I'm kind of curious as to see how that's going to work. Because it has that vacuum effect. It does suck them in and then it starts rising them. But you usually want to use the V-trigger to do a super move, like combo into it. Yeah. And I've only seen it done once, so I'm curious to see. Or if people are just going to stick to the first one.
Yeah.
Like me personally, I'm still sticking to Ryu's first one because I like the electrical attacks. It makes all of them go a lot faster. So I'm pretty sure at some point I'll do some practice with the secondary one. But with the buffs that came along with that, it also came with the first V-trigger. Like, you can actually combo almost all three of his standard moves, the Hadouken, the Shoryuken, and the Tatsumaki all at once if you do it right. And it's just like, yes!
That's cool. So it's like a super art where you have to choose before the match which one you're going to
run. Kind of like what they did with Street Fighter 4.
The Ultimates,
Then I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the line they were like, hey, we'll do both now.
Yeah.
That's what they always do.
That's cool.
So you might want to jump back in on it.
Maybe. Maybe. It's been a while.
I remember, because that's actually how Josh and I met.
Yeah.
He was into Street Fighter when he was working here. My roommate mentioned, oh, my buddy works at Capcom.
Right.
And I actually don't like when people do that. I'm like, don't do that, man. Because I know Capcom has a reputation of what you may really love it, or you may have a lot of criticisms. And I listen to that as my day job. I don't need to do that regularly.
Right.
But he was really cool about it. We met, you know, I've hooked him up with some games from time to time. So
yeah, that was cool. That was
Like, here you go, buddy. Check it out. But yeah, so on Fighting Games News, you guys hear today, or not today, well, yesterday, Dragon Ball Z Z Fighters. Is that really how it's called? Is that really Dragon Ball?
It's Dragon Ball Fighters.
Fighters Z. Sorry, yeah. Fighters like Z.
No, it's not even Z. You're supposed to. It's like
Fighters.
Fighters.
Really? Oh no, really?
No.
I think so.
Shut up.
I think so. No. There's no space.
There's
got to
be a space.
You know? There's
got to
be. There's no space.
But it's got. But then
it is adjacent to the R.
Oh, man. I feel like that's a.
Dragon Ball Fighters.
That's ugly.
No Fighters.
Well, I mean, come on. You know that the Z is going to be in there in some point or time, so that's how they're going to do it.
Is that really? Now I'm curious. Word Vomiteers, check the, go on our Facebook page and tell us what it is.
Yeah. Give us the sure you can link that tells us how to pronounce
it. Like, is that for real? Because, is it? You don't say it.
Anyway, it looks cool. Like I'm not that big of a Dragon Ball fan, but everything that I've seen... It looks really
fun. I never got really hardcore in any of the games that Arc Systems came out with, but I always respected them.
Yeah.
Because
of how good they look.
Yeah.
And how their mechanics
despite
are.
Despite what you can do with each character, every character is, you know, in some form or another, really balanced with each other. There's no character that's overtly, you know, it's not Night Terror from Soul Calibur where it's just ridiculously overpowered and it just or it's not Rugal from freaking the SNK series where there's even the term is called the SNK syndrome for overtly powerful bosses. Like there's no character like that in the game. You can pull off some sick combos that do massive damage and each character has a one-hit kill.
Yeah.
But
that's their mechanic, right?
It's the mechanic but that's what makes it so cool is that everybody has it. It's not just one character. There's not just one character that can do a continuous combo that takes their health from full to zero. There's actually everybody can do that. So it's just a matter of just catching the opponent.
Yeah, I was thinking about tricking up the new Dragon Ball game, and I was like,
I'm thinking about it too.
Maybe I'm on a budget. Do I really want to play it and embarrass myself online? I kind of do.
Okay, so I don't mind the embarrassment as told by the earlier story.
Yes, yes,
but I have to agree with you on the budget part.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty hurting right now.
Well, I mean, you're...
Like, here's the thing. I skipped breakfast this morning. After this, I'm going to the Nations, and I know I shouldn't, but it's Nations.
There you go.
And I'm gonna be happy and sad all at the same time while I'm eating it. Like, I'm going to laugh and then spontaneously start crying.
Start crying, yeah.
Well, you know, you moved into a new place.
Yes.
Yeah, see? That's always tough. You'll get back on top.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I've already tumbled a lot. That's why.
Oh, well, there's nowhere else to go.
As a matter of fact, me being in this store right now is probably not the good idea.
This is a bad.
Get your daughter over here.
Like, what have I done?
Yeah. Jack, get your daughter over here.
I got some $20 cupcakes.
Yeah,
in the
right. Like, here you go.
I remember those cupcakes. They were delicious.
Yeah.
I must have these cupcakes. No.
Yeah. 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 I mean, but yeah, I'm curious on. Playing the game because it does. I was on the beta and I played it. And as far as the experience goes, I thought it was really good. I don't know how the mechanics would be because it did feel like there was a lot of because for the cool moments that are supposed to emulate the cartoon series, I couldn't tell whether or not I was doing anything. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Did I do something? Did I press a button? Did this do this?
I think this was the Dragon Ball fighting game that everybody was really waiting for.
Yeah, they want to feel the experience as far as
there were the other ones. There were the Budokai,
and then Xenoverse.
which was more, even though it was a three-dimensional, it was a 2D. And then they did the Tenkaichi, where they were trying to do something different. They were trying to incorporate the whole spectrum. So it was a 360. You have to lock onto them in order to fight, which to a degree was fun, but got really annoying when it came down to camera angles.
Did you guys play the Naruto Ninja Storm games?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, it was kind of like
it
that.
It was like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was the same engine. Right? The same team, right? It wasn't the same team that did those?
It was Namco, yeah.
Yeah.
I love those games. Those games, like, you totally feel like you're in the cartoon. And I'm a big Naruto Leotard. Is that accepted? I don't know.
Is that how the term?
Naruto fan.
You like the orange ninja who turns?
Yeah, I got Charlotte watching it, and she really digs it. That's cool. That's cool to share with her.
Somebody actually posted up a comparison of Naruto and Boruto, and they just said like Boruto is so watered down.
Oh, really?
Because you know, by the time the episodes that like the there's a couple of episodes for Boruto already out. And then when you compare them to where Naruto was in that same number, like Naruto was already fighting like life or death.
Yeah.
Whereas Boruto is just kind of
hanging out
with his friends. And yeah, they're getting into adventures, but it's nothing like life or death.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess they're just trying to slow it down a little bit for Boruto. They're trying to flesh him out. But yeah, I've been following along with that as well.
That's cool.
I was a big fan of the Naruto series as well.
Yeah, I just ordered some of it. We don't have a whole lot of manga here in our comic shop. But I've had
see,
a lot.
I
of
do
people.
See some some Tokyo Pop though.
Yeah,
see right hey, there.
There you go.
I wanna expand that because I've had a number of people asking about it. It seems like it had a pretty big like bump in popularity in like the early to mid 00s and then kind of tapered off. But I still have people asking about it, so we're gonna kind of rebuild that section with staples. Is there any other manga I should carry in the shop? I guess. Work question.
You know, I'm not that guy.
Yeah. No?
I'm not that guy at manga.
I mean, you can always go One Piece.
Yeah. One Piece is the best-selling one.
The cool thing about One Piece right now, because it was the big three. It was Naruto, it was Bleach, and it was One Piece.
Oh, Bleach, yeah.
Bleach is on like 72 volumes or
it's
something
crazy
ridiculous.
Number.
Like,
and,
those guys, man.
But the thing with
forever.
Unfortunately, they did stop recently, though. Yeah. They just finished it up. I'm hoping that they do a sequel series, kind of like what they're doing with Naruto, because they actually introduced Ichigo and Iruka's kid.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
you know what?
What have I done?
Yeah.
Ghost Rider is. Just kidding.
Ghost. Right. That's my vengeance to you. Yeah. But from my understanding, the creator of One Piece does not have an endgame as of right now.
Oh, really?
So it's constantly going. Like, he has so many ideas, and I think he said, I'm going to run it for as far as I can before, you know, eventually.
I'm going to cash in those checks. Yeah.
He's gonna go have coffee or ramen somewhere and be like, oh, that's how I should end it.
Yeah.
Write that note down. Done.
It is finished. Yeah.
He could die now.
That's like Stan Sakai. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Stan Sakai. Yeah.
Dude, last time I was here, I bought two.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yojimbo.
You got a ticket. Yeah. So that guy, he's been doing Usagi from like 1986 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's no signs of ending either.
He writes it, he draws it, he researches it, he does the covers, everything. It's like a one man show.
Yeah.
And he's never been late.
No.
For like 30 years.
You should actually, if you're not following him on Facebook and you're really, you're a fan of either A, comics, or B, really cool artwork, you should definitely follow Sakai.
Yeah, Stan Sakai, he's so cool.
Because like he'll from time to time also put up his commissions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's other pictures where
he's just drawing it for people who paid him for it.
Yeah. And he'll even, like, I think he does ask for permission to post them up. There's a couple of pictures where it's crossing over from like characters in Marvel's and DC. So
that's awesome.
It's just like so awesome.
For the longest time, I thought he was a pseudonym. Like, he's not a real person. Like, it's because to me, I was like, there's no way a guy's been working this long with that strong worth ethic on one.
He's like the Dread Pirate Roberts. Yeah, or something, right.
It has to be, right? And I'm like, holy crap, he's been doing this for so long.
He's a machine. It's awesome. That's like one grail that I'd really like to find is Albedo 2. That's the first appearance of Usagi.
Oh, yeah, Usagi.
It's not like super valuable, but.
It's just something for you.
That's a cool, cool book.
I was always a fan of Usagi Yojimbo. Like, I got introduced to him on the TMNT cartoon that showed up on Fox.
Where
he made the first appearance. And then I remember just going into I think it was a Borders when they were still around. And I saw, in the comic book section, I saw his own graphic novel. I'm like, wait, like, that's an original character? That wasn't just, you know, a character that they created for the show? And I just started reading it, and I'm only missing one graphic novel out of the big, thick ones. I know there's other ones that came out beforehand that I got to go find as well, but...
Yeah, it's weird. Like, two different companies share the rights to publishing those. Like Fantagraphics, I think, has the early stuff, and then Dark Horse has everything after whenever, right?
I think it was the Fantagraphics that I didn't get.
It's hard to find those old ones.
I found that in a used bookstore. I found two of them
there.
And I was just like, I thought I had everything. Crap. No,
super, super cool. Super good stuff. I was reading that to Charlotte at bedtime.
Wow.
For a little bit. And that was cool. She's very cultured with the stuff that, like we just finished Scott Pilgrim. which I had to kind of selectively edit a little bit for a four-year-old, but she really liked it.
Yeah. Are you showing her the black and white or the colored version?
Black and white. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Color version. It's cool, but I have the black and whites. Yeah. I guess I have the color ones, too.
I know.
Now
you
that I own
right
a shop.
There.
That's a weird thing, like realizing that I probably have
that must be the thing for you is you have your own personal comics, yeah. Your own personal comic library, like,
right?
Even
right.
On a day where you, like, if for whatever reason there's a holiday that comes out that all stores are closed, including yours, you could just come in and just start reading everything.
Yeah,
that's a good way to go for the day. Just read everything that you have, and you won't even get to everything. You'll get to like an eighth of your entire store just reading.
No, that's one thing that my wife was pretty excited about when we first got the shop. She realized, she's like, you know, we kind of bought a library. I can just read whatever I want. I was like,
pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I look at it, I'm like, fuck yeah. Here's my weekends.
Yeah.
Going to read these books.
Don't get to read a whole lot, though. Like well, I'm so busy as a small business owner.
That's
why I said holiday.
Yeah.
Right. Day where you just can't open.
I mean, you have a business to run. You're trying to make it successful. You're doing these things.
Yeah.
You're the boss here. So how many employees do you have here?
Okay, so we got two. Billy and Tyler. Shout out to those guys. They're really cool. I inherited them with the store, but even if I didn't, I would have hired them because they're hella cool. Super knowledgeable. They and like I said earlier, I've kind of been out of it for a little while.
Yeah.
So they're super good at guiding me in the events of the last, you know, 5 years or so. They have a pretty wide interest in different stuff. It's cool. Those guys are good. Two of them. Yes.
I watched a video of John Barathol. It was like best moments of John Barathol. And he had gone to a comic book shop slightly before he was going to get started on Punisher.
Yeah.
Just to pick up, you know, to immerse himself with the character. And the way you describe those guys, it seems like the guy that he got, where he went up to the register and he puts the comics down in the graphic novel. He's like, no, you don't want to read that.
No.
And he's like, okay. He's like, you're going to want to read this, and this. Don't mess this up for us.
That's awesome.
They're like, don't come at him like that. He's a good actor. It's not his fault.
Well, thankfully, he was really chill about it.
He's like, yeah.
He's like, okay. And then I guess he did take those. And
that's awesome.
And that's how we got the Punisher season one.
There we go. Like,
whoever that guy is, unsung hero, you're the real MVP.
Huh? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's like that moment. There's a, what was it, when they were filming Doctor Strange?
He showed up
in his, because he was in wardrobe, and he walked into the comic store. He goes, I'd like to get some Doctor Strange books. And the look on the guy's face when he's in the store seeing him is like, is this real? Am I
being punked right now?
I mean, maybe a little, but I'm like, he's buying these books.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm wondering, he's like, where is his wallet?
Where do you keep that?
Where do you
right?
keep your money? Or did a guy just go,
like he walks away with it and then someone comes back, like, here you go.
He does the I am Agamotto spell. He goes, here. I'm like, oh, I guess it's yours. Here you go.
Like sling ring $20
out of the negative zone
or whatever. Boom. That'd be awesome.
He keeps money in a pocket dimension on occasions, just like this.
Benedict Cumberbatch just showed up in that outfit. I don't know how I'd be able to deal with the guy dressed like that and knowing, like, wait. That guy in a Doctor Strange cup. Holy shit, that's Doctor Strange.
That's awesome. Oh, man, I'm so excited for
Black Panther.
Infinity War. Yeah. Let me plug the shop a little bit.
Please.
I don't really make any money off of it. It's just a cool thing that we like to do. So here in Castro Valley, we're like one door down from the small single screen Chabot Cinema.
Yes.
And every time there's like a comic book or a genre movie, we go see the Thursday showing at 7 o'clock. They're like opening show. And then after the show, we all come into the shop and we just hang out for like 3 hours talking about it. So we did it for Star Wars. There were like 40 people here.
I almost feel like that's a podcast right there.
Yeah, yeah. That
in itself.
That's a good event. But no, it's super cool. So we're going to do it for Black Panther and then Infinity War. Oh my God, you guys, I am so excited. My body can't hold my excitement.
There's already people knocking Black Panther for the dumbest reasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was scrolling down my feed, and someone was just like, so the Black Panther movie wasn't filmed in Africa, yada, yada, yada. So much for Black Pride. And then the response was that, and goes, so, Star Wars wasn't actually filmed in space.
No, it was not.
I was just like, come on,
Star
dude.
Wars. Did you know that all of those great movies were not filmed where they were supposed to be?
You realize that a lot of those things were green screen, right?
Like, that's not real, right? You know, Wakanda's not a real place.
Wakanda's not actually real.
It's not a real place. I was watching...
Or it is, and they do, we just...
I mean, it might not.
And they're doing a really, really good job.
And good for them. Yeah. Actually, was it Sean Vanner had come to my house, and I was watching Coming to America. Ah. And I was watching it, and I was thinking, I was like, you know what? This place could be... That's just Wakanda, right?
Yeah.
It's like if Black Panther decided to have fun times and not be stressed of being the leader of his people... He's gonna take a siesta to America and have a good time.
It's like a what if, right?
It's like,
what if T'Challa was not really into being a ruler and wanted to go find a queen?
Exactly,
in Queens.
Exactly. He decided I'm just gonna have some fun times here. It's okay, and he's like, all right, cool. And I'm like, damn, that place is Wakanda.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
so. I need to see that movie.
I'm so stoked for it.
But yeah, Black Panther looks super good.
I've even seen a lot of community outreach programs that are trying to raise funds to take kids.
Oh, that's cool.
Of, African American kids to the movie, because this is one of those times where they're going to be represented in the best ways.
Yeah.
But I to be able to come out with a movie like this that people believe, this is the best representation you're going to find of a very powerful character in the Marvel Universe. We should take kids to go see it. Actually gets me even more excited for the movie, because it's like, holy crap, what are they going to do with this? And we're talking about the guy who did Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so good too.
It did such a good job with that. It did Fruitvale Station.
Yeah.
Such a good job with that.
Yeah, you know, so much of the movie is going to be local. I guess T'Challa went to UC Berkeley. So there's AC transit buses in the shots and stuff. That's cool, right? Like,
I like that a lot of the Marvel films or the character, like the places, aren't here in the Bay Area.
I think it's actually, in the lore too.
Yeah.
T'Challa went to Berkeley.
Yeah, he did.
So cool.
For school. So it's not just, it's just, we're going to go ahead and say UC Berkeley. No, he went to Berkeley in the comic books. So, yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
That's like one thing that I've always liked about Marvel is it takes place more in our world than the DC universe, right? Like Gotham and Metropolis. Now we're like in New York.
West Coast Avengers. Don't get me wrong. Those things are there, but they've created their own setting.
Yeah.
Star City, Metropolis, as you mentioned, Gotham City, Coast City. It's all there. It's its own place, and I don't think we've seen too much of that in the Marvel universe.
No, they have their. I mean, except for the Wakanda, not a real place. I mean, as far as we know, I don't know. Hey man,
Wakanda denier.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm helping them out. Of course I'm denying. Yeah. I don't know anything about that. No.
I'm super excited, man. I know you guys know, but maybe the audience doesn't know, but I'm super into Legos and stuff, too. Have you seen the
I'm going to go ahead and say a lot of our listeners are into Legos, too.
Yeah, Legos.
But the
and if you're Infinity not, what War are you doing with your life?
Right.
The Infinity War sets have kind of spoiled some of the events.
I did hear about that.
Dude, I looked at that, I'm
like, it's always the toy line. Yeah. Toy lines always fuck everything up. Yeah. It's like, no, man, what if that's... But then at the same time, it could also be because there's a bunch of Lego toy sets of things that don't exist.
The red herrings.
Oh, there's a whole thing. So I'm like, why? That didn't happen. Yeah. I want that. But
was it a Mandarin on his death Zamboni?
Yeah, I'm like,
that
wait,
little
what?
Set.
Yeah, you're like, wait,
never happened. Hey, what's up?
Is Mandarin coming? I want to see Mandarin. That's a character actually I do want to see coming in the Marvel Universe.
Did you see that? I just, for the first time, watched that little one shot.
Oh, All Hail the King?
Yeah. It's super cool,
it's
dude.
It's good, right? Because, I was really bummed with Iron Man 3 having Ben Kingsley not be the actual Mandarin. So,
that's cool.
And I was like, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Iron Man 3.
I'm kind of on the other side. I really appreciate that that's where they went with it. Because the Mandarin, he's such... You can't do that character, right?
I mean,
he's like every Asian trope,
He is, but they could have modernized, because technically speaking, Ben Kingsley is half Asian. His family is from India.
He is. Okay.
He was good enough to play, he got an Academy Award for being Gandhi.
Right.
And he's legitimately, he speaks that dialect and all that. So I was like, oh, cool, good actor, it's a different look, why not? And then they made it comical, and I have no problem with it that way, but I was presented with something else, and I felt lied
to. Ten rings.
Come on, man. Where are they at? Come on. Where's those powers? And I would have actually liked to have seen that, because it's the idea of a mystic versus like a person who wields the power of so much mystic ability versus a guy who
science. It's versus all magic. Science,
yeah. And it's like, fuck yeah, let's do that, make that happen. But that one shot, which apparently is canon, they said it's canon, so he does exist.
All that stuff is canon,
and it's like fuck yeah, man. Where's the Mandarin at? The fact that he's a shadow group hidden in the Marvel universe, just waiting. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, dude.
I always hated the reveal of those things because now it's not as it loses its mystique to it whenever that happened. Like, I always felt like if done properly, yeah, it's great. But when it's just, oh, they're there, can we get a redo?
Well, because they had a schedule of making these one shots. They had one left they wanted to do, and that was it.
Well, it's not necessarily that. It's more so of. Okay, let me give you an example. It's not comic book related, but did you guys watch Chuck?
Yeah, no, I did.
I never got.
Okay, so
show,
Randy Kings, and then anybody who's watched Chuck, and it's going to get into a little spoiler for you, but I still recommend that you check it out.
Okay.
It's not a bad series.
So, like, the first villains of the series are called The Ring.
Oh, yeah.
And then by second season, it's a new one called Fulcrum, which was actually... behind the ring, and it's just, but the way it was like presented as okay, now we know a Fulcrum. It's just that was very anticlimactic.
Well, I mean,
and I know it's a TV series and whatnot. It's not something like arcing movies. But I every time they always introduced the new villain, it was just like here's the villain for this season, and that's it. No, just no, please. Do it again?
Well, I mean, in this case, like I said, with All Hail the King, I just like that they're there, but, you know, he has no one to fight right now. I mean, I guess arguably his next person, because they're not making another Iron Man movie, right? That's not a Robert Downey Jr.
I don't think there's an Iron Man 4.
I think he's like, I'm just going to show up, guys. Where's my $30 million?
Yeah.
I think he could be a good villain if you put him up against Doctor Strange, because, you know, that whole mystic versus mystic thing.
Right.
He could be in there. I mean... I just like that there's an organization that's that big that's like, oh man, fuck Hydra. These guys are the ones who are dangerous.
I think I gotta go with actually your first one. I wanna see science versus
Iron Man
tech.
Well, yeah, but you know, unfortunately, unless they get another, you know, unless Tony or they, when I guess when they ever decide to do the reboot of this franchise, we might get it then.
So let me ask you guys something. What do you think is gonna happen? Do you think it's gonna go reboot or they'll introduce characters who've taken on the mantle of certain heroes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the mantle, like they did in the comic books. It's like, mantle.
So there'll be a character that did Iron Man for a bit. There was a character that did Captain America for a bit. They're, instead of using Steve Rogers and Tony Stark, they're going to reintroduce them as...
Yeah, they could do that. Like, I would be happy with either, you know, Bucky or... Sam, right?
Captain
America. That would be cool. You could do that with Iron Man too, right? Like you could introduce Riri Williams. She could be Ironheart for a bit. I'd be cool.
I mean, and you could still have the other actors show up. They don't have to do a lot. Be like, hey, how's it going?
Like the inspirational speech that they needed to get them going.
Yeah. Like, what are you guys doing?
I can't wait for Miles Morales.
Like, oh my god,
Miles Morales would be so cool.
What I was so disappointed about with Miles Morales was that we never got to find out what his 616 universe was.
Because
he was from the Ultimate, and then they actually even addressed it where Peter was just like, hey, I wonder what Miles Morales here is here in my universe, and he looks him up online, and he goes, oh my god.
And then
and they haven't revealed
And then
it
they
yet.
Never did anything with that. Hmm. I was like, oh, wasted opportunity. Hopefully they'll come back to that later.
I think they might, because he's actually pretty big in Disney XD. I watch a lot of Disney XD cartoons.
Yeah.
And he's in Marvel's Spider-Man. Like, he's there as he's Miles Morales Spider-Man. He's like, he hangs out with Peter Parker. They do things together. He's very adamant saying, I'm not his sidekick.
I heard they're going to rename him. He's going to be Spy-D, like S-P-Y.
Please
don't.
It's like, don't. No.
Just call him Spider-Man.
Just call him Spider-Man.
It's cool.
Fine.
I'm like, whatever.
Yeah,
it's the Spider-Man. I have to say, though, I didn't know it was real. But have you guys seen the trailer for the Sony?
Oh, it's so good, dude.
The Sony picture, the Sony CG movie.
Like, everybody's going to be in it.
Was that Spider-Man?
Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
I was like, and it shows Miles Morales. Like, it's all about him. Obviously, there is Peter Parker there, and how they did the art is amazing. When I saw that trailer, I'm like, this is a fake one, right? This is one of those, some guy at a school did this. And I'm like, no, it's a real.
And kudos for him that he did do this.
I was like, dang, that's really dope. Nope. And then, I went to go see, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and that trailer came there. I'm like, holy shit, it's real.
Yeah.
This is a real thing. I'm excited. Let's do this.
Yeah, no, so it's a Spider-Verse, right? So we're going to have Peter Parker and Miles Morales. They did casting, I guess, for Gwen, so we're going to have Spider-Gwen too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm a big Spider fan.
I mean,
so.
I love Spider-Man. I love it even so much more that he has not just a variety of villains, but he has a team of guys that he...
There's a spider family.
Yeah, there's
right?
a spider
like
family,
family.
Which I'm like, this is really cool.
It's cool.
And it's like, it makes me laugh. He goes, well, you know, he's just like being Batman. I'm like, yeah, except, you know, not psychotic and
brooding.
And also, he's like, cool, man, you're going to help me out? Awesome.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
We don't have the same mom named Martha. Cool. High five, guys.
Super excited.
That's never going to get.
No.
They're never going to forget. They're never going to let that go.
Well, I had a discussion about that with my cousin about how he's like, I don't get that that's how. He had him stop the fight. Is that Superman said,
that's
Martha.
That's what squashed the beef right there.
How about the, hey, Batman, I need your help. I know we're fighting, but you're going to win. Can you help my mom out? My human mother. Help her out. You jerk. And then that's it. But no, Martha, what'd you say? What did you say? What? I said that the door's that way, Brian Affleck. Sorry, bro. Did you see? Because we started talking about the potential Batman suitors who's going to replace Ben Affleck, because it's that.
Oh, yeah, I found out he's
unofficial announcement is that he's not coming back.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck, he's
like
done.
From my understanding, it was supposed to be, okay, after the Justice League movie, he was going to write and direct two more, and then he wasn't, and star.
We talked about this.
And then no more writing and directing, but he was still going to star.
Yes.
And then, like, they're just, it's like they're inching
his way
him
out.
They're
like,
no,
we're done. He's like, we're out. Yeah. Someone said that it was going to be, like, someone who's shown interest is Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal, I've heard his name thrown around.
And then I was like, wait. I was like, hold on a second. So you're going to have Batman, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, the Joker's Jared Leto. Those are the two prettiest actors you can get to play these two DC heroes, like, hero-villain coupling. I told my wife that. She goes, that's hot. I'm like, this is one step away from just being a gay porn. Like Lady Love Fest, essentially. It's like, yeah. I'm like, dang. And like, those are two of the best looking dudes. Like, there's, yeah.
I think it'd be kind of cool if maybe they just let Batman leave him on the shelf for a while and have like a Robin, and like Batman's missing. So Robin's trying to clean up the city. Like, and then come back to Batman.
I can totally see a Nightwing movie, actually.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really cool.
I know it's off out there, but I like the idea of they were going to have the guy, was it Negan, be Thomas Wayne?
Oh, yeah. He was in
he's the animated.
BBS, right? Yeah.
So it's like, if you can have him be Thomas Wayne, obviously they explain why Thomas Wayne's Batman, all that. I'm like, yeah, work it out. I like that Batman. That Batman was a super grizzled, really gave no F's Batman.
I'd really like John Hamm to play Batman. That would be cool. John Hamm, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's
could
a good
totally
choice.
Do the playboy and then, like, the tough guy. Like,
he can do that. I think he's good at that.
He's got the versatility,
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I just rewatched Baby Driver yesterday.
I haven't seen Baby Driver. I really want to see it.
And that's also a good example of a character that, you know, where you can see his range.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and not saying anything else on that. Yeah. Watch the movie.
Okay.
But you can see his character's range as far as when he goes from point A and to point B and how he gets to it.
That's cool.
Have you guys watched any of the Black Mirror series?
Oh, my God, dude.
He's in the Christmas for season 3.
Yeah.
And I recommend it. It's really good if you haven't watched it. It's only, they're like, their season are only 4 episodes long. You don't need to watch each individual one because it's anthology. It's very much like a Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's really good in it. Like, you get to see you want to talk about range and like, how it's like, he's a happy-go-lucky guy to, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Really quick. Well, not really quick, but like,
in
the progression of story.
I think that's kind of why I haven't binge-watched Black Mirror, was because of the effect that it's an anthology. When we used to watch The Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits, I don't know if you guys watched that one.
Yes, I did
watch
Outer Limits.
It was a weekly show.
Yeah.
When I binge watch something, it's so that I get one overarching long story. So it was actually hard for me to try to actually sit through Black Mirror. I have to actually watch it every once in a while. I saw the first episode Which was about the kidnapped queen or the kidnapped princess.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It, and then
yeah,
it goes
yeah.
into the next one where it's a different type of society. And to me, it was just, it was really hard to stay focused.
To continue.
Because it was such a departure from the first episode that it's just like, okay, this is not a show that you can binge watch.
Really?
You
have to, I disagree.
Me personally.
Yeah.
Me
yeah.
personally. But because of the fact that, okay, it's not leading off to anything that happened in the first one. I guess one of the things about binge watching is that you got
it's
it
from
all
a story.
At once.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a, I will say, at least from my experience, because I watched it on, I watched with great detail and attention, that there are things that carry over. Because you can call them Easter eggs, but there are things that go from the first season to, or from the first episode to like the last episode of that season. And it happens in pretty much everyone. There's things that show up. You're like, oh shit, that was there. And it's not like everything is connected, but there is a connection there.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there's that song that's connecting to the first season.
Right.
Like all kinds. There's a really cool, in the fourth season, I would say that there is a, the was it the USS Callister episode.
So,
I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yeah. So
that's like the Star Trek
reference. That's where I started with the show. Because, you know, we come in here every Wednesday night from like 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock when we're open. That's New Book Day. But people just come in. We just hang out for like the last 2 hours or whatever. And somebody, a good friend of mine, had recommended, he's like, you got to watch Black Mirror. And I was like, well, I haven't seen any of it. He's like, just start with season four, watch that episode, and
yeah,
see what you
the
think,
USS
right?
Callister.
Yeah, so me and Andrew, we watched that one that night, and it was like, holy shit, this show is awesome. So we just continued with season four, and then we got to the last episode of season four, and it had throwbacks to the episode one.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh shit, let's stop, we'll restart everything. So now we're like in the middle of season three. I can binge it. Like, I love it because I totally see little connections here and there. Like, and what's awesome about Black Mirror, at least for me, is like, okay, Twilight Zone was scary and spooky and stuff like that, but it was fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Black Mirror is scary and spooky because nothing feels far enough away, right?
It's
the themes that they hit on, like with technology and
politics,
social media and politics and stuff,
are like 4 or 5 years away.
Yeah,
if not,
like
if
maybe
not
maybe tomorrow.
There's
like,
it's
terrifying.
There's things that happen in like was it season two that I'm like, oh, isn't that kind of what happened like last year?
Yeah,
what's going on, like, guys? Like they're really close. There's things where you're like, holy crap, I can't believe they did that. And the guy wrote, like the person who had written this and created the series, you know, did all this stuff like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. It's like, oh my god,
no,
it's amazing.
It's cool.
But yeah, the concept of having, if anyone who doesn't know Black Mirror is, good god, come on, guys, get with it. But yeah, these stories are like directed by. They you know, may have different writers, but they also have different directors, different actors, different mediums of what they do it. There's a black and white episode.
Did you guys ever watch the movie Four Rooms?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was like the perfect example of what Black Mirror is. It's like except it's one overarching character
and terrifying.
Yeah. Well, because you know, it's meant to be funny, but
But each room is done by a different director, written differently.
Yeah.
It's just one guy's basically his night.
Yeah.
Tim Roth.
Right.
And what's weird about that is that it's Tim Roth. I'm like, wait.
So good, dude.
Who's, you know, not, he's not a funny guy. Like, I remember he's like, oh, but he's like, what about the bellboy? Like, I'm like, wait. That was Tim Roth?
Yeah.
You like super brooding, badass Tim Roth.
Was it? You had a Tarantino episode.
Yeah.
Who else?
Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, Rodriguez. The Rodriguez one is the one with the kids, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Amazing.
The Tarantino one is the one that Tarantino is in, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well,
last one.
I mean,
of course. Right.
Who better to direct Tarantino than Tarantino?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, they
good movie.
and to give you the idea of the overarching, one of the character from Robert Rodriguez's, no, not Rodriguez's, it was somebody else's, shows up in the Tarantino one.
Yeah.
Like, she's just there. Like, okay, whatever we were doing earlier on, we're done. I'm just here having a sandwich.
Right.
You know?
We finished filming my scene. I'm just going to
like Tarantino. Tarantino came out and he's just like, you know, if you're not busy, you know, you could just be there. You know, there's not very many dialogue. We'll pay you for it. And like, okay. Let's do it. It's kind of how the motif, I felt like it was, like how they set that one up. It's like, okay. We have this, and we can use this as an overarching for the entire movie.
That's such a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, so again, guys, if you're not on Black Mirror, get with it. It's free on Netflix.
Okay.
Free on Netflix.
So I just pulled it up right now. The directors were
Charlie
Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, Allison Anders, and Alexander Rockwell. So Allison Anders was the one who did the Witch one.
Yes.
Alexander Rockwell was The Wrong Man. which was the bellboy gets in and he gets grilled, essentially.
Yeah.
They're just like, it was you, wasn't it, you son of a bitch? You're the one who slept with my wife. You know, that kind of deal. Robert Rodriguez, which I'm not even going to have to say. You're just going to watch and be like, yep.
There he is.
Yep, that's his.
There he goes.
And then Quentin Tarantino, starring Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
So many people in that movie. Antonio Banderas.
It's everybody who knows.
Madonna's on there, yeah.
Anybody, I think it was anybody who knew those guys then were like, yeah, you want to be in the movie? Okay.
It's like, what are you guys doing this weekend? Well, let's make up a movie real quick.
Okay,
done.
Knock
it out.
I don't have a story, complete story. Cool, we don't need it. What about you? No, not a story. All right, cool, we don't need that either. Just do it. There's a lot of those things coming. Like, was it HBO or Starz had a series that's like that. It's called Room 604 or Room... It was done by the Duffer Brothers.
Really?
Yeah, cool. It's like 12... They directed the first 4 episodes, and then they hired directors to come in and direct the stories they had written. Their only rule is everything has to happen inside this hotel room.
Oh, wow.
And they're all very different stories.
That's cool.
All crazy stories that I was like, what is going on here?
What was this called?
It's Room... I want to say it's Room 604, Room 619, Room...
I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, look that up. Yeah. But yeah, the one I liked was James Vanderbeek's in one with this
comedian. Is it Room 104?
Room 104? Is that what it is? Yeah, Room 104. But they have one crazy story of like a couple who gets crazy on a pizza delivery guy played by a comedian named Clark Duke.
Yeah, yeah, it was Room 104. It was an anthology series created by Jay and Mark Duplass.
Yeah, yes. The Duplass brother, yeah. But yeah, it was crazy. It's very similar like that, but it's all set in one motel room.
So it's a bottle series. It's not even a bottle episode. It's a bottle series.
It's like, oh yeah, everything happens here and all these different stories and all very different takes on things that happen. It's like, oh wow, that's very creative. I like it a lot. So I recommend
that one out. That's cool.
So far we've recommended 4 rooms.
Yes.
Room 104.
Yes.
Black Mirror.
Yes, watch Black Mirror, guys.
We told people to go watch comic book movies, in this case. Black Panther.
Black Panther.
You should read Thanos. Thanos is awesome.
Is good.
Thanos is really cool.
Find out who Ghost Rider
and,
is.
And we told people to support their local comic book shop, essentially.
Well, yeah, that'd be cool.
I'm saying come to Castro Valley.
Come hang out.
Hang out at Crush Comics here. Say hi to Josh. He will tell you cool stuff.
Maybe. Which, by the way, he's going to have to open up the store in a bit, so we can wrap this up.
Do we? Yeah. Oh, damn. Cool. Shit. We didn't get this.
We got to make sure we clean up as well.
We got to go. We're like, oh, crap. Here we go.
See what happens when you go to Crush Comics? You have so much fun, and then you run out of time so quickly.
Well, it's our bad. But, yeah, I mean, folks, do us a huge favor. Like us on our Facebook page, which is Word Vomit Productions at Facebook. On Instagram, we're on... Word Vomit Podcast. Come on, man. You got to have me out here. I'm dying. I'm dying here. I can't remember because it is Word Vomit.
Well, okay. So you can follow us on Word Vomit Pod.
Pod.
On
That's
a lot of our social media as far as Instagram and Twitter. You can follow us on Word Vomit Productions on Facebook. And you can check out Word Vomit Productions on YouTube as well. You know, I actually had some ideas that I wanted to sit down and talk to you about. I think there's going to be some cool things that we're going to be doing this year.
Okay.
And yeah, make sure that you're subscribing on iTunes or Google Play.
Yes, Google Play and SoundCloud.
For people who have their own SoundCloud accounts, definitely check us out.
Josh, I mean, I know you are big on social media. You know, we didn't get to talk about is also he's a cosplayer, like a really good cosplayer. But we'll have to save that for another episode.
Yeah, another
if you
episode.
Will have us back.
No, I enjoy cosplay.
You're gonna have to do the podcast in your costume,
okay?
Because we're gonna have the camera and everything.
If I do the Spider-Man suit, any suit with a mask though, you won't be able to hear me. So it'll just.
You know what? We have clip on mics.
We have clip on mics.
Put that in there.
But yeah, for the shop, we mostly do Instagram right now, and it's just at Crush Comics. We're also on Facebook at Crush Comics. Like every Tuesday we do, what new books are coming out and what we're excited to read. And yeah, that's us at Crush Comics, wherever you go.
Right on.
All right, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for having us here, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I
never thought I'd do a podcast in a comic book shop, but there we go.
And I knew that we would, because why would I not want to have this? I know Josh, and we have a podcast. Done.
Cool.
Let's do this again sometime, huh?
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, how do we end this? I'm trying to figure out how do we end this in a cool way.
You know what? We'll leave the final word to Josh.
Yes, Josh. Oh. Last words.
Okay. Last words. Close this out, man.
Excelsior.
I can dig it.